It's Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your incredibly porous host, Vinny Paulino.
Hello.
Your rigid air balloon of a co-host, Brian Ball.
Oh, the humanity!
And I am the effervescent Nick Levasseur. And today we've got Rich Voss. Let's send it over to the studio with your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Oh, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another beautiful day inside the greatest comedy club in the world, Comedy at the Carlson. Forgive me while I insert plugs into my computer.
Ooh, excuse me.
It's a sexy start to a great morning.
Slower.
I hate to ruin it, but you know, it's a special day today.
It's a very special day.
Today's our 1 year anniversary.
Aww.
Not Brian and I of the show.
Yeah, I didn't get you guys anything.
Oh.
No.
Well,
we got you a surprise in the parking lot later.
That sounded either threatening or totally fucking awesome.
Bit of both. Ooh. Little column A, little column B.
Gonna beat your ass.
You know I'm into that, right?
Fine. Let's just be mean to him with our words.
I like that, too.
All right. Nick, you're a jerk and we hate you. It's our birthday. It's 1 year of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast here inside of Comedy at the Carlson. Thank you for tuning in. We know some of you are listening on the internet. You're listening on a podcast streaming service of some type.
Some of
you are on the iTunes, the Spotify, and Laughable. Excited about Laughable.
Lol.
And some of you are watching us on Facebook Live and YouTube. However you're watching, we love you.
However
you
doing it. However you're ingesting this content, if it's visual, I'm sorry for Brian's face.
Aww.
I would also like to apologize for Brian's face.
Yeah, that's true.
The face
true.
Is the same as it always is. The hat's weird.
Yeah, it's bad.
We have a terrible, terrible casting department here at Comedy the Carlson Cast.
You didn't ask for a headshot. That's on you.
Yeah, I should ask for headshots.
Yep.
So, today, coming back into the studio for his second appearance on the show, I guess the everyone's favorite foil, Rich Voss, is going to be here, everybody.
Rich Voss, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Not to be confused with everyone's least favorite foil, Brian. They both have a penchant for stupid hats.
We do. That is one thing we do share in common.
That is one thing. You do both wear old man hats.
You should pick up
the word penchant.
You should pick up his penchant for really big gold chains.
Yeah, maybe.
Was he wearing big gold chains last night?
No, but in a lot of the publicity pictures, there's many a gold chain.
All right.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I think it'd work well with you.
Voss likes his jewelry.
Draw the eyes away from your jowls.
Are you talking to Benny?
Huh? Maybe both
I'm
of you.
Jowl-less.
Honestly, applies to both of you guys.
I'm jowl-less.
Mm. How are you gonna mention my jowls on an anniversary show?
I'm sorry.
So listen, Rich Voss is gonna be in here. We're excited about it, but we got a couple things I want to remind you about that are coming up here very soon. There is 1 week left, ladies and gentlemen. There is 1 week left to put in your proposals for Show My Computer, Nick. Showmageddon 2018. For those of you who don't know what that is, allow me to explain it. It is a showcase showdown, a stand-up showcase showdown. We are giving four enterprising performers the opportunity to have their own showcase inside of our Rickles room here at Comedy at the Carlson. If you would like to apply, we're looking for original, new, fun ideas, things that maybe haven't been done anywhere else before that you think will draw a crowd and be a good, entertaining show.
I have an idea I'm going to submit, I think.
Are you really going to?
Yeah. It's very simple. Just a few words. Random trap doors.
Ooh.
Showmageddon!
See, mine's a little headier. I'm doing an interpretive dance to that song, I Touch Myself, but it's at 1/100th of its actual speed, and I'm covered in mayonnaise.
Showmageddon! It's going to be big, folks.
So Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you have till next Friday to submit. You can submit by emailing carlsoncast@gmail.com. What we want is the name of your show. We want to find out you to explain what the idea is. And we want you to explain how you're going to market it and how you plan on getting people's butts in the seats.
Dick pics help.
They do not help at all, actually. Please, no dick pics. Thank you.
Nick Levasseur's email address.
Yeah. I would say, here's Nick's email address, but does Nick have a computer at home?
No.
Dear God.
Carrier
I know
pigeons.
He's got a PlayStation because he lives next to the thing.
It's steam-powered, though. There's valves.
It's eco-friendly,
smoke
asshole.
Coming out of Nick's room. So I guess I just want to say, folks, we want your submissions. We want your submissions so bad. We want to know what you think is going to be a cool show. And if you are accepted, you and three other performers, all four of you are going to get to go toe-to-toe in the month of October in the Rickles Room. You're each going to get a Saturday night, and whoever's show draws the best, gets the highest judges' scores, wins their own showcase here at Comedy at the Carlson that we will promote. And the buckets of money will rain down upon your head.
So four different comics are going to get to surround you and shower you with their submissions?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's so fucking hot.
Fun. Sounded gross. You ruined show again for me.
Oh.
I hate you, Nick. I
love it when he pouts.
He's ruining all my fun today. So, Showmageddon 2018. We're going to keep you posted on that, but there's 1 week left to submit. CarlsonCast@gmail.com. Email us your submissions. And let's talk about our sponsors, shall we, boys?
Let's talk about sponsors.
Hey, Nick, it's Sapori.
Put it in me. Oh, it's so delicate.
Nick, you have to really be careful.
Softest hands this side of the Mississippi.
I know.
That's it. Good old soft hands Lavasser.
I'm bleeding so much right now, you can't see.
At Sapori Rochester, Sapori Cafe and Catering, located inside the Powers Building atrium. They are available for catering, graduation showers, weddings, birthdays, corporate events, backyard barbecues, and more. For more information, you can email at admin@sapori-rochester.com or sapori-rochester.com on the internet. And get yourself some Sapori, because it is delish.
It is amazing.
We went there for lunch last week. We had the chicken cordon bleu paninis.
Ooh, yes. That sounds amazing.
It was pretty damn good. It was good. I couldn't even eat the whole thing.
Me wow. either.
Do you know how bad that is if I can't eat a sandwich,
I
the whole
know.
Thing?
I know. That means it's like one of the signs of the apocalypse.
Or I'm dying!
The fat man shall not be able to consume all his food. The four horsemen cometh.
You're not funny. Let's go to the next one. Three heads, baby. Threeheadsbrewing.com, our favorite beer, available in many fine variety. You could get the kind, you get two kind, you could even get tray kind. You could get yourself some Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad, you get yourself some Strong Arm IPA. They've got a million delicious beers.
That Giant Panda's doing it for me lately.
Oh, it's so good.
I like that.
And they're a cool band.
And they are a cool band. The Giant Gorilla Dub Squad is who they're named after.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad. It's the whole thing.
Okay, well, then I screwed it up.
Boo.
You can visit Three Heads Brewing. You go to their brewery on Atlantic Avenue in Rochester, New York, see a show. They have music, live music, just about every night of the week.
Just about.
And amazing beer on tap. So, threeheadsbrewing.com. And also a big shout out to our friends. All of our friends make booze. Have you noticed this, Brian?
It is kind of a theme.
Yeah, people that make booze love us.
Cholesterol and booze. That's kind of what we're... that's our two favorite things.
Oh, I know my market. Handcrafted in upstate New York, Iron Smoke Whiskey, Applewood Smoked Whiskey, or available in Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. You can check out ironsmokewhiskey.com, or you can visit their new tasting room in Fairport, New York.
I've not been out there yet. I need to check that out.
It's pretty great. And you know what's great about it? Specifically great about it? Is the fact that they're right there by the Fairport Music Festival this weekend. So
if you're looking
for some live music... you can check that out, too.
Two birds, one stone.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah,
I wish I had two stones.
Let's go bird killing.
I'd kill both of you
if
I had two stones.
Kill four birds.
One stone to bring me down.
No, it really wouldn't. You're an old man in an old man cap.
Depends on the size of the stone.
You were groaned when you sat down.
Brian, I could beat you up right now.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Fight.
I don't think
so.
Make out, fight. Make out, fight.
Wait, what?
Huh?
We'll be right back with Rich Voss.
Will we?
Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Here's a reminder about the great shows we have coming up this late summer and fall. This week, Rich Voss. Coming up next week, though, Jimmy J.J. Walker. I'm not saying dynamite, and you can't make me. Robert Powell III will be here August 23rd through the 25th. And Labor Day weekend, Marlon Wayans, August 31st through September 1st. Gary Goldman will be here September 6th through the 8th. Gilbert Godfrey, two nights for the first time since the club's been open. We got him for two nights, the 14th and 15th. And then Jeremy Piven will be here 21st and 22nd. Jamie Lee, Crashing, will be here September 27th through the 29th. Brent Morin, October 4th through the 6th. Pauly Shore, One Night Only, Sunday, October 14th. We're very excited for this one. And Michael Costa, October 19th and 20th. Don't forget Brad Williams, coming back November 8th through the 10th. Keep checking our website, CarlsonCounty.com, for more shows. And sometimes they change, so make sure to keep an eye on that. Or you call 585-4-COMEDY to get your tickets over the phone. Hope to see you at the show sometime soon, Rochester. Hey, everybody. Don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at CarlsonCast.com. Like I don't get enough disrespect around here. Welcome back to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. In studio with us is our guest today, legendary comedian. He's here for four more shows this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson, the always enthusiastic Rich Voss.
Yeah, that's me.
Straight from the yacht club this morning. You look good.
I'm going to play golf, but thank you for having me. Thank you. Excuse me. I had to do things to get work here, so I got to clear my throat.
I understand. Is that why Mark is so relaxed?
Yes.
He's so calm this morning.
In his big pickup truck that he's revving like he's in the Indianapolis 500, flying around Rochester trying to impress homeless people in his stupid 4x4, okay, with his stupid with his dumb beard like he's going to a Make America Great rally. Shut up. Good guy.
That truck, man, he gets you here fast to that thing, huh?
Yeah.
It is a bit brotastic.
Yeah. Do I have to talk to both of you?
No, just me. It's all right. You can ignore it.
I was here about a year ago, whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like he hasn't moved from that position, sitting there the exact same way.
I have not.
It almost looks like you should be a secretary on Mad Men. On Mad Men. Yes, Mr. Draper, what would you like me to take down? He's sitting like a secretary in transition.
It's because I'm in a terrible chair.
That could be why? The reason.
Okay, so literally that's your defense to that. It's the chair!
But you've only been here for how many episodes that maybe you would think, maybe get another chair.
The answer to the question is 51. And by the way, congratulations.
Yes.
This is our one-year anniversary show.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So glad
thank
to
you
have you back
me.
For it.
Well, I mean, this is your
51st episode.
We've done over 300 podcasts, my wife and I.
Yep.
But my wife and I do our podcast in our dining room by ourselves without guests. So to have over 300 and something podcasts, probably 330, I'm
sure.
Guessing, excuse me, and with no guess, sometimes it might get stale, sometimes it's great. You never know, because it's really hard to just do that many podcasts with the same person and come up and be fresh every time you do one.
Of course.
Some are going to be better than others. So what's weird is someone might listen to one or two or maybe five and give it a review on it. Who the fuck do they think they are? Okay. Who the fuck could you possibly think you are to come after two well-respected, well-established comedians throughout the business, right? Throughout the business. And
Mark just threw his Kleenex at me.
And say, oh, well, your podcast is stale. Go fuck
yourself.
Don't
turn that on.
You can listen to one or two or five, but when you do 325, yes, some are going to be great, some are going to be good, and some are going to stink.
So,
but the fact, and even if you loved us and gave us, said this is the greatest podcast in the world, go fuck yourself, because it's your dumb opinion. And that's what's wrong with the internet. It gives fucking morons a platform that shouldn't have a platform.
So let's pause for a second, because
I'm not saying any names. I'm just saying
I know
in
you're
general,
not saying any names, but I'm about
saying
to.
In general.
Okay, so listen. And, for those of you who are watching, Rich is upset about something right now.
I'm not upset. I'm just giving an opinion.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It really doesn't fucking matter if in the, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it what does it matter? Some guy in his basement.
Carl.
Giving, is that his name?
Could, yep. In his basement, actually, in his basement.
In his basement, giving an opinion on something that we're not going to stop doing. We're not, and whatever, how many listeners does he have? That's only bringing attention to us.
I hate to tell you this, and this is one thing what? That's probably going to make you a little annoyed. Recently, when he did that episode about your old pal Opie, his show, Who Are These Pods, got in the top 25 for iTunes.
Yeah, wow. Probably.
Which is a pretty big deal. But, it's pretty hard to do.
Well, your thing just fell behind you.
I believe
you. that doesn't mean... That whole iTunes thing, mm-hmm. it's how many people just click it.
Sure.
Whether or write a review on it.
Right.
It gets yeah. if you get enough people just to write a review, you'll be in the top. There was times our podcast was in the top 10.
Yeah.
There was time. That doesn't mean that many people were listening to it.
Sure.
Because we're not even coming, we're not even in the same universe, a Rogan or a Marin sure. or a Corolla.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They're
even
dynamos.
Doug Benson, even Benson, mm-hmm. those podcasts get so many fucking listeners. To be truthful, our podcast gets probably about 15,000 a week.
That's pretty good.
We
get, we you can complain if you wanted to. It's no, pretty great.
But we've had, since we started, over 3 million downloads. Over right. 3 million. So, you know, yeah, one podcast will be hot. You know, if you go after certain people... You know, whenever I talk about certain people on my podcast, it fucking goes off the chart because there's a lot of fucking haters and there's a lot of people that like drama and it steers the pot. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in the long run, podcasts fizzle out.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, unless, but you know, when you're at a certain level, people are going to listen to you because of who you are no sure. matter what.
After you do 330 podcasts,
at least,
don't you have like a new respect for those radio people that have to do it every
well,
day?
Well, I've always said that.
Yeah.
Radio hosts not only have to go in every day, they have to do 4 hours
yeah,
a day.
It's a grind.
It's 4 hours is a lot of fucking topics, you know, but they have guests.
Sure.
Bonnie and I, actually, this week we did our podcast
uh-huh.
in studio and we had like four guests just to mix it up. And I was talking to Bobby. I go, this is great. Then Bobby called, and Bobby was right. Bobby said, you know, once in a while, maybe doing studio, but your brand is you and your wife
yep.
sitting in your dining room and her beating you down or just going over, you know, with a right. dog barking, a kid interrupting. That's our fucking podcast.
Let's give an official yeah. plug. My wife hates me.
Yes.
Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.
That's our podcast. And the podcast, too, is just a bonus of what we do in life, in our careers.
Sure.
We're comics, and we do pretty well as comics,
yes,
my wife
do.
And I. We do yeah. pretty well. So the podcast is just, it's a bonus. It's a bonus coming from us. It's free. If you don't like it, you don't listen. If you want to go to Patreon and become a subscriber for the extra pod, you know, for whatever we do on Patreon,
that, yeah. extra only a couple. Downloads of
yeah.
Bonnie yelling at Rich.
Yeah, and that's only whatever, 5 or 10. Yes, you could do that, and we don't have tons
because sure.
we don't. You know, we only do so much. You know, I have 3 kids, but you know, one that lives sure. with me, an 11-year-old. You know, I'm on the road. It's a bonus, and we're not out there trying to break fucking records or you know what I mean.
I don't think that you are. I think you're trying to do you.
It's
and I legitimately think that podcast got under your skin though.
No, I didn't listen to that podcast. I didn't. I read on Twitter.
Okay,
this all happened today.
All right,
I read on Twitter. Some guy wrote their podcast is getting stale or whatever.
Okay.
It was negative. I didn't respond at all because I have 80,000 followers and I'm sure on Twitter.
Sure.
He doesn't have that many. I didn't respond because that's just his fucking opinion. But now today, when I'm, you know, Mark is saying, oh, the guy is from Rochester or whatever, or you
yeah.
said, and then Brother Weez, when I left studio, somebody called in, and I heard him talking about, and I thought it was the guy. And I was going to say, listen, you know, we've done over 300, but it was some guy talking about the guy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's not really under my skin. It's just because on Twitter.
It's fresh. It's very fresh.
You know, look, we came up with a show, like I said, years ago that we're pitching around town. It's a podcast review, but we're not trashing it.
Right.
We're taking the funny bits and animating them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and
the
it's
best
already,
of podcasts.
Yes. And it's already, you know, it can't be stolen because we already, it's, you know, it's with the Writers Guild and it's.
Sure.
So it didn't get on because at the end of the day, who the fuck? It's just some guy, you know. He went.
You're so upset though. Like I really get upset. This vibe that you're upset.
I'm not upset. I'm trying to get a point across.
I gotcha.
Like he went after Bobby too. Bobby's got a great podcast. Bobby is fucking funny.
Bobby's podcast is great. Yours is great. I actually listen to yours. You know, I listen to his.
It's okay. It ours reaches out to a certain. It's not for everybody. You know what? Brian Regan is not for everybody, and he's one of the greatest comics.
Wrong. Ever. Brian Regan is for everybody.
No, as funny as he is, he should be.
Right.
You know what? Stanhope's not for everybody, and Stanhope to me is the best comic of the last of our generation.
I wouldn't argue with that either. Yeah. I'd probably put him top three. Yeah. One in probably.
It would be Patrice, me, and Stanhope. That would be the three of this. Of
I
this
have the same
generation.
List: Patrice, me, and Stanhope. What do you know? Shit.
So, but everybody isn't for everybody. So keep reviewing us, please, because it just brings attention to us. Don't think, you know, one spot on Anthony's show is you know, you're in show business now. Okay?
Oh, no.
No, you're not. Hey, I'm good friends with Anthony. I do a show many times. He was at my roast. I fucking beat him down at my roast.
Now, he just wrote a book too, huh?
I haven't read it because I haven't even finished my wife's book, and that's been out for 4 years.
Are you in her book?
Who, my wife?
No, are you in your wife's book? Did you make it?
I don't know if I'm in the, towards the end, maybe. Or yeah. I don't even remember. Yeah. I remember.
He was checking. Remember. There were no pictures of him, though.
I know. you know, so just because you do Anthony's show, and the fact that you travel from Rochester to do a podcast... What does that say? I live an hour away and I say no to the podcast sometimes. But as I said, I'm good friends with Anthony. I love doing his podcast, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't go to Reddit, but those guys are big fans of Anthony's. And I think most of them are fans of mine throughout the years.
See, I think that your career is really interesting. And here's what I've kind of taken from it. You are a great comic on stage.
Thank you.
Incredibly great comic. If you've never seen Rich Voss live, do yourself a favor. He's a surgeon. He knows exactly what he's doing. He goes on stage, and even when things look like they're slowing down, Voss's gears are turning, and he's going to smash. It's great. It's a great live show. And I'm not just saying that. I legitimately enjoy what you do. But I feel like this whole Opie and Anthony world has eclipsed a lot of that, like, greatness on stage. I feel like in a lot of ways it's like turned into a cross that you have to carry with you for your entire career.
Well, no, look, there's great, great ONA fans that love comedy and support comedy. There's also fans that think when I'm on stage, I'm the same guy that I am as I am in radio, which I'm not. The stuff that I've done on Opie and Anthony, some of it I fucked up and made mistakes. Some of it on purpose, but you know, and it's a semi character that I built. But I've been on Opie and Anthony more than any other comic.
You were probably
more than any other comic.
A staple.
Okay, so the stuff that went on there, the abuse that I took and the abuse that I have given, would never happen on any other radio show.
100% correct.
Anywhere, the sports junkies in DC, Shreddin' Reagan, Weez. Paul, and I can name a thousand of them that would never happen, you know, and great radio too, throughout the country, great radio. But what I've done on ONA, and a lot, you know, it's the guy that they can fuck with, but will come back fighting.
Right.
But that's also Bobby too. They fucked with Bobby as much. You know what I mean? You know,
I would say the people who are successful on that show could take a beating and give one. And that's just the way it works.
That's how we are. That was me, Patrice, Norton, Keith Robinson, you know, Kevin Hart, Billy, us just hanging out every night, just smashing each other. That's what we did. Now, there's a lot of fans that think they are us.
Right. And they can just smash away.
Or they try to. And it's not gonna come off funny because you're not us. Right. You know what I mean? I don't try to go. I wouldn't go on Twitter to some to
Taylor like, Swift
or even a sure. even a therapist or a doctor and start giving advice and try to, you know what I mean? Well, maybe right. I would because I'm a narcissist. But do you know what I'm saying? So all in all, most of the fans are great. They come out, they buy merch, they support, they watch Women Aren't Funny, the movie, they watch right. the Voss Roast. 9 out of 10 are great. There's always one that's a hater right. in everything. In sure. every there's gonna be one person that will go, ah, Patrice got on my fucking nerves or he stunk. Patrice was brilliant on radio. Brilliant.
100%.
You know, he didn't shut the fuck up, but he was brilliant. And people go, I can't. And I remember when he was alive, people used to go on Whackbag, that was the ONA site back
right.
then,
yeah.
and go at trash Patrice. Now he passed away, they're all fucking on the Patrice bandwagon. Do you know
greatest
what I'm saying?
That ever lived, man.
Yeah. So, look, 9 out of 10 of them are great. I don't go to Reddit because it's too much to read, but they support. They're most of them are supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people back in the day on Whackbag, most of them were supporters.
Right.
So you get, you know, it's radio.
Okay. You brought up Patrice a lot, and one of the questions from one of our viewers, Jeremy Zier, wants to know if you have a favorite Patrice story.
Oh, I have a couple, but one, I got tons of Patrice story, but this one was really funny. Patrice and I went to read for a sitcom for ABC.
Okay.
So we're in there with a head of casting. Her name was Marcy something. I don't want to give her.
You're
last
not
name.
Up for the same part, I assume.
What's that?
You're not up for the same part, I assume.
Could you be that fucking stupid? Could you?
100% he can. Yes.
Did you actually say me and Patrice are up for the same fucking part? I wish that was an electric chair.
You could just throw the coffee in his face if you like.
Were we up for the same part? Yeah, we're both reading for a blonde hair lady. You fucking idiot. Oh, God. And I got up for this.
I'm telling you.
So Patrice and I, how do you get past that? How do you get past that fucking question?
Do you realize almost, I was here with him for an hour before you got here?
How do you get... Look, I know you want to talk and be part of this. We're going to get you in somehow. We are.
Okay,
you
thank
look
you.
Like you look like Kevin Pollak if he had AIDS. Now listen to me. So
show him your Shatner.
No,
my Shatner.
No, just kidding.
He doesn't play. Oh, fuck
yeah, 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 yeah. Boy, I ruined that.
No, I didn't get that.
I'm sorry. No, Patrice story. ABC.
This is just one story. We were reading for a sitcom, so we're in reading with the head of casting for ABC, and it's going horrible. I, one, can't act, and two, he doesn't want to be there.
Right.
So he won't take his face out of the copy, out of the, you know, the sides.
Okay.
And I'm trying to read with him, but I can't connect with a guy that won't look at me. Now, Marcy's yelling at me, the casting. She's going back. I go, why are you yelling at me? I can't connect with you. You won't look at me. And he doesn't give a fuck. He's laughing. And she basically threw us out.
Okay.
So now we're walking down a hallway, and these fucking, like, four executive ladies are right behind us. And I farted so loud. And he just fell on the ground laughing so hard. And I don't even do that type of humor. It just happened.
Right, right.
And he just fell. He laying on the floor. And there's nothing. There was nothing better. A couple times I made Patrice fall down laughing.
All right.
Like 3 times in my life. And it was so fun watching that guy just let go and just laugh. We were working at Boston Comedy Club.
Right.
And I'm on stage. And I'm talking to this girl in the audience, and she's talking about her school and how, you know, they don't have really classes and they do yoga and, you know, it's all about nature and health. And I go, who's your fucking principal, Billy Jack, right?
Okay.
And you hear in the back of the room, oh, my God, he starts yelling. Because he's really the only one that got it. Because
right.
The Billy Jack school was like some hippie school.
Right.
And you hear him scream out loud laughter. And it's such a good feeling when you make a comic who is one of your good friends just fucking fall.
It's
Florentine
true.
Started this, but we would all... Florentine would, a guy walking down the street, Florentine would walk up to him and go, what time is it? As the guy looked at his watch, Florentine kept going. So the guy just stared at him. So the guy just standing there, staring at his fucking watch, right? So
that would never get old.
That's him all day, too.
We're standing in front of Boston. So I... Patrice and me were there, and I go, Patrice, watch this. It was Florentine's bit.
Right.
But I did it, and I kept walking, and the eyes on, and Patrice just started fucking dying. So it was just so much fun. And when we sat at the cellar, Patrice beat down Eddie F. so bad. Eddie came in with this attitude, this arrogant, rich kid attitude.
Right.
And he said to me, how much do you make at colleges? I go, I don't know. And he goes, well, I make this. And Patrice went, what?
There's where, no business that you're in that's okay to do.
And Patrice goes, what college do you do? P University? Because you stink.
P.U. University.
And Patrice called him Eddie Ugh. And we were all sitting there for 45 minutes. He beat down Eddie. Me, Norton, Eddie, we didn't say a word because we couldn't get one in. I was driving home laughing. Norton called me, goes, I can't stop laughing. It was so fucking funny. You know, we beat down Billy Burr one night so bad. Billy came into the cellar and said, I'm going to the World Series. It was the Mets versus the Yankees, right?
Right.
We go, that's cool. How'd you get tickets? And Billy said, well, these guys are having a bus trip to the World Series. And if I perform on the bus, they're giving me tickets. And right when he said he was doing a show on the bus, our eyes lit up. Me, Keith, and we're doing bits like we're walking down the stairs. You guys were great, and we pretend we're walking down the stairs on the bus. And we fucking beat Billy so fucking... Sweat was pouring down his face. And Patrice, like... There was nothing better when you said something and you see his eyes light up, or any of ours, but mainly his, and you knew you were fucking blood in the water with sharks. You know, just so many of them. You know, it was just so much fun. We would leave the Comedy Cellar, and it was like me, Patrice, Keith, and Norton most of the time.
Right.
And we would leave, and we would spend another hour outside Boston Comedy Club that was closed, which was around the corner.
Sure.
Just trashing each other and laughing. It was the most fun I've had in this business. You know, I just put a picture on Instagram of me and Patrice and Papa.
All right, I can find that.
I get the picture here. I go, I think I wrote the end of an era.
Yeah.
You know, I miss him dearly. But we had so much fun back then. And that's when you'd sit at the table at the cellar and we'd just all kill each other. You know, it's different now. There's some comics that do that, but it's just, you know, Keith is still a creep. You know, Norton, Bobby, but, you know, no one...
Is it the culture the culture overall that changed, or the culture in comedy that changed?
Well, I think both. And plus, I don't think you'll get a group of comics that are that close. You know, you might get two comics that are close together, or three,
sure,
but you won't get a group of four and five comics that are that close together.
Just click.
That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even Tough Crowd did help that too, because, you know, a lot of us did Tough Crowd together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was a semi regular. I did Tough Crowd 35 times. And I was just a semi-regular.
I didn't realize you were on there that much, because I don't remember seeing you on there. I knew you were on there, but I didn't remember seeing you a lot.
33 to 35 times.
Okay.
And that's just a semi-regular. But I was the number... I think I did the most semi-regular. Like, the regulars were DiPaolo, Keith,
Norton,
and Patrice.
Right.
Then there was the semi-regulars, like me, I think Judy Gold.
Right.
I don't know who else. But I know I did, like, the minimum 33, the maximum 35.
So, possibly 34. I gotcha.
I don't think it was 34.
It was 35. Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
So, but... there was a group of us, because we were together every night, you know. There wasn't as, I guess, as many clubs in New York back then as there is now, where comics just bounce from place to place now, you know, to run. So we were a pretty tight group. So I don't think comics have that now. You'll get two comics that are best friends or three that hang out,
sure,
you know. But we get together, we would always get together at the end of the night and just sit and hang out. You know,
did you watch this in a Net special?
No.
No. Are you going
No, it's listen. My wife's watching. Said it was great.
Uh huh.
You know, some people think it's. I don't care. I don't care.
Good answer. That's what I've been saying too. People ask you, I don't care.
I don't care. It's not. You know, I don't watch any specials, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
One, because I ad lib. Sometimes, and I don't want to pick anything up. I don't want somebody to say, oh, I did that.
That's a danger. It's a danger in the business.
It's watching, you know, because sometimes I'm ad-libbing off. You know, I don't do as much crowd work as I used to. Last night I did. It depends what mood I'm in.
Sure.
I'd rather do material now because I know I've already accomplished.
Well, the times they are a changing then, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, I've already accomplished it. People know I could do crowd work. I know I could do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? On a CD, crowd work doesn't come out as well as material. When you're, it just doesn't come across as well unless you're in the room.
I could go with that.
Big J does crowd work CDs. It works for him, not for me. You know, because my crowd work is, you know, much more clever than his.
Sure.
So
it just gets lost in the translation.
He's fucking great. Let me tell you, Big J, I've done roast battles where we judge. And his ad-libbing is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, we had him in here. We went and watched him. He's amazing.
He's really good.
Would you say one of the top 10 working right now?
Top 10 comics?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I just think on radio or, you know, comedy, I don't really watch his set. You know,
I just know
what he does on radio and roast battle. He's fucking brilliant.
He's doing the bonfire with Dan Soder.
And he's great. He's great on it. Stand up, I barely watch. I don't watch comics. I really don't. It's very seldom. You know, if Stanhope came in a room, I'd watch him. If Maria Bamford came in, I'd watch her.
Right.
I like Janine Garofalo. Sometimes I'll watch her. Certain ones I'll watch, because I know for a fact I'm not going to do what Janine's doing. I know I'm not going to do what Maria Bamford's doing.
I don't think you'd be able to pull off her act at all.
So, and I think they're so brilliant.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to do what Stanhope's doing. He's doing stories that are so long that come around in a full circle, and they start here, they go there, and they're back to there, some of them.
Yeah.
You know, so I can watch people like that. It's hard for me to watch a Big J, because we're both aggressive in your face.
Right.
Yeah.
I might do crowd work. He's going to do crowd work. So I don't want to pick anything up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
100%. So, you know, like, was there a point in your career where you just realized that you have to stop watching other people? Because I've talked to a couple people who've been like that, where they were just, you know, 10 years in, just decided, you know what? I can't watch other people's acts because it messes me up.
Well, here's what I think. If you're a new comic and someone like, you know, Attell, Bonnie, Norton, Bobby, me, if whoever the headliner is, if you're a new comic and you're not watching, if you're not coming in to watch them, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yes, exactly.
Because I didn't pick up other comics, but I learned. I mean, I watched comedy since I was a little kid, you know, on Ed Sullivan and, you know, and the only way to get good at something is to watch it and learn. I'm not saying pick up and do the character or do that.
Sure.
Just see how a comic can do an audible, comic, or how a comic will handle this situation, or how an MC will come out, and a good MC how to warm up a crowd and keep the show moving.
Right.
A great MC, you know, in Boston back in the day, they used the top comics to host, and it was their shows.
I tell people this all the time, and nobody believes me. That's the way it used to be in the business.
It's not an insult to be the MC.
No, no, no. Because that, especially when there's four or five comics on the show, because you're the... Listen,
important.
I host all the Patrice benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I've hosted all six of them, and it's all night
long.
Has it
been that long?
Yeah,
wow.
There's six benefits.
I was going to ask how long it had been, because I was thinking it had been five or so.
Yeah, so we did six benefits so far. So, you know, and I hosted all the ONA virus tours the first time. And that's only because of years of hosting when I started. And you become a strong comic. And watching comics when you're new and learning. You know, these comics, they go on, they take off. It's a disservice. I used to watch comics all the time when I first started.
Yeah.
It's all I did was just, you know, I loved it. I'd go to comedy and watch them and, you know.
It's the same as watching a guitar player play. You're learning to play guitar and say, oh, how did he do that with his fingers? It's the same thing.
But I'll be honest
really
with you. You know, Brian, they don't let the new guitar player go out there and do a solo the first part of the show.
Yeah,
it's really how they open shows these days.
Well, no, even if you're in town and you're and you know there's a, you know, go to the club and watch the fucking show, the headliner. You know, one, you're going to network. You might get a guest spot. I when I'm on the road, I always give guest spots.
That's really nice of you.
I always, you want the new comics to get on stage. I always say, you know, not Saturday the first show, but I'm going
to
say do a guest spot Thursday or the late show Friday or something.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's just, you got to help these new guys. Or girls, whatever. You know what I mean?
Comics.
Or skirts. I don't know what you call them. Broads, whatever. Dames.
Dames around Rochester. When was the last time you had a hell gig, man? What was your last hell gig like?
Oh. I don't want to say the name, but recently, and I got... up in the Catskills, and I don't know... It's an old, old resort.
Uh-huh.
And you go on... you know, the DJ that's been there for 400 years or the host.
Hey, cool cats.
Yeah, just some dressed like I am for real with these type of shoes. And no warm up, and you're just going out there, and it's families that have been going to this resort for 30 or 40 years, and then their sons and daughters.
Mourning the loss of their parents because they've been going there for 30, 40 years.
And I go up cold, and it's not I can't handle it. It's not as fun. And you're standing on a dance floor.
No stage, huh?
Yeah. So it's not a hell. It's not my favorite gig.
Sure.
But I don't really get hell gigs.
If you had to think back over the 34 years, is there one that maybe just sticks out to you as like, holy shit, that was the worst place I've ever been?
Oh, there's a lot of them. I just can't. I mean, there's been places that I remember...
Or the accommodation. The scene.
What's that?
Where you had to flee the scene at the end of it. like the rough places that you've had to run away.
Oh, like, hey.
Like this room for me right now.
Yeah.
You want to wait in the hall, Brian, while we finish this up?
There's been so many. Yeah, when you first start, there's fucking brutal. You'll take anything. I would take anything.
Yeah.
I went on. This is no... It was a bachelor party.
Okay.
It was behind the bar in a room. This is the truth. It's gross, but it's true.
Lay it on me.
There was one or two strippers, definitely one, naked. The bachelor was wearing glasses. Took them off, took her vagina lips, and tied his glasses in her... Tied it. Pulled them and tied his glasses.
Wow.
And now you're comic. I have to follow that. You know what I mean? This is true. I'm going, holy shit. But I was new. And I pulled it out somehow. You know, it's 15 guys sitting in a back room. I'm following a stripper, tying some guy's glasses with her, you know, her fucking vagina lips.
That's the craziest thing I've ever...
It's so gross, and it's so fucking true. I was on stage once, and I'm trashing this guy's toupee.
Right.
He threw it. You see it flying across the room at me. He just took off his head and chucked it at me.
You did a service, though. You should have just thrown it in a garbage can, picked it up, and just, you're welcome.
Toothpaste flying across the room.
It's really hard to accurately throw one of those.
I feel like you got to frisbee that shit. Like, you got to get a little wrist in it.
So many horrible gigs. We did a gig once. We drove hours, and we're only getting $25 a piece, me and this other comic. $25 a piece. We drove like 2.5 hours to get there, and we got lost. And we finally make it. We go on stage, and the guy goes, he gives us $10 a piece. We go, we're supposed to get 25. And the guy goes, well, you had the salad bar. I go, what? You trying to charge us for the salad bar? I go, give me my fucking $25.
Jesus Christ, this business.
I mean, back in the day, I just wanted to get on stage. That's all I cared about. Who the fuck texted me? Oh, nobody. It was Golf Now.
Here's my question. You're talking about coming up and how you took every you know, gig that you could because you wanted to be on stage, and that's the way you should be, I think, when people get into the business. You should want the experience, and you should want to learn, and you should want shows. But if you had to give, like, any legit advice to anybody who's thinking of doing comedy for the first time, what would you tell them?
Be original. Try to, you know.
Yeah.
For me, and it doesn't work for everybody. When you talk about yourself or how you see things or things that went on in your life, you're original.
Mm-hmm.
No one could say you took that because it's you. But every comic isn't like that. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld's not like that. Regan's not like that. You know, different people. Just for me. And I would just say study comedy. If you're going to start, you know. I mean, now it's different, too. I mean, obviously, I sound like some old man, but... You know, there's fucking YouTube and Instagram.
Sound, look a little bit like one, sure.
Yeah. There's, yeah. Oh, I am one.
I know.
I am one.
Listen, young men don't wear those pants.
Well, I'm going to play golf, okay, you fuck cocksucker.
Got you all upset again.
No, I'm not upset.
I didn't say anything about your podcast, relax.
I don't care. Say whatever you want.
It's great.
I'm bringing attention to a guy that, listen, blame Andy Warhol.
Okay.
Okay. His 15 minutes, he's at 12 minutes right now. He's at 12 minutes.
You hear that, Carl? You're at 12 minutes.
After you do 300 podcasts by yourself without guests, then talk to me. After you do 300 of them, then we could have a conversation.
Sure, sure.
It's easy to go on one and trash. If I just went on a podcast and attacked a certain person, of course people would love me. Because they don't like that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, what was
we were talking about, you said it sounding like an old, you didn't want to sound like an old man.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's so different now with YouTube and Instagram and the internet, how people are becoming stars. But if you want to become good, just go study comedy and get up as much as you can, wherever you can. Just get on stage. Work the alternative rooms. Work the fucking, the regular rooms. Do
are we calling them alternative rooms now? Is that that's a thing we're doing? Because it is a style of comedy, like this alt comedy thing.
Yeah,
and like, well, there's, do you feel like it has just like its own scene now in New York?
Not always. It's been around for
sure.
For, you know, it does have its own.
But
scene.
I didn't know that we were referring to it as that.
But a lot of, like, I used to do alt rooms because I could do any room, and a lot of comics can. More traditional comics or whatever, I think, can do alt rooms easier than all comics can do.
I would agree with that.
Completely. Regular room. And not saying all comics are great. You know, people think, you know, a lot of people say Janine was the first to start alt comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Kaufman was doing
100%, yes.
Andy Kaufman was doing it way before anybody, you know. And I'm sure there was probably somebody before Andy. I just can't think of it. There was a guy, Steve Freelander, in New York doing weird.
I've seen people do that stuff, and it drives me crazy. Not that it's bad. You know, you do something a little different. But I saw somebody who would, like, play music and then do something while the music is playing. And everybody's like, oh, that's so original. I'm like, no, it's not. That's Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
It's literally not original at all.
No. But you get guys like Todd Glass, who's brilliant, as funny as anybody you'll ever see or listen to. He could do either room. He'll do an alt room. He'll do, and he's just fucking. He's so funny, just so funny. You know, Maria. Like I said, Maria can do either place,
sure.
Although she draws her fan base. So you know, I think that yeah, there's an alt scene. I travel around the country and I'll go. Is there any open mics after the show? Which last night I should have found. I wonder if there was one last night. I didn't even ask.
I'm not sure on a Thursday. I don't think there is a late one.
There wasn't one. No. But I usually try to find an open mic to go to. One, because it's fun. And two, I'm the biggest act once I walk in the
sure.
room.
Headliner.
You know, yeah. They fucking, you know, ooh. But, you know, it's a little ego. But there's a lot of alt rooms on the road. I'll go to them and do, you know, look. Right. People want to have a good time when they go out. You don't really going out to have a bad time. So whether it be an alt room or a traditional room, whatever, you know, basically they want to have a good fucking time. It's just that alt audiences have, it's just like, it's the same as somebody that loves rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not going to get it when they go to rap. It's not saying that they're wrong either way.
Right.
Somebody that grew up in alt rooms, that's what they know. That's what they know.
Sure.
So there's nothing wrong with them liking that or supporting it because that's what they know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with alt comedy at all. I'm not trying to rag on it.
I didn't say you were.
I wish people would realize that it's not like some of the alt stuff is getting to a point of hackdom almost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, there's
and
hack.
That's what's kind of. There's hack everywhere.
Yeah.
But like alt comedy used to be that place where people would go to escape the hack because they felt like, oh, this is new, refreshing, and different. And it's been, you know.
Well, it becomes alt hack, too.
Alt hack.
You know, I don't know what comic talks
about. What's your
about.
Definition of the word hack? I'm just curious. If you had to describe the word hack, what would you call it?
Well, people say hack is somebody who steals. That's not a hack.
Sure.
That's a thief.
It's a guy who does a podcast about other people's podcasts.
That's hack.
Sure.
No, it's not. It's really not because, like I said, we came up with a show reviewing with animation, and it's.
But if you come up with it after I came up with my show, then it's hack.
No, he didn't know. That person doesn't know what we did.
Sure.
Hack is somebody that's doing unoriginal material that's been done a million times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do airplane humor if it's brilliant. But if you're doing hacky airplane humor, then it's hack. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's brilliant stuff. You know, if you're doing drive-through McDonald's, you know, and the speaker was, you know, all scratchy.
Sure.
And, you know, it's hacky stuff that's been done a million times.
Sure.
If as I said, original thought, you know, you look at Dice. Dice back in the day was an original thinker. Nobody was doing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
aggressive, in your face, what do you call it?
I don't want to use the word shocking, but in a way it kind of was.
Yeah, or just aggressive in your face
right.
like that. You know, he was a trendsetter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you say he was funny or not, he still was a trendsetter.
I would say I don't want to lump in the New Jersey comics, but he definitely influenced people coming out of New York and New Jersey.
That. People thought I was like Dice because just my talking and my accent.
Well, I would say that you're aggressive, but I don't think you do the same type of material.
No, not at all. But
right.
I was more aggressive back in the day. And
sure.
As you get older, you slow down. And
wear pink shirts and go golfing.
You just want to do more material and make a point. Not carry a message, this or that. You get tired of just doing. You just want to try to at least. I mean, yeah, I do dumb jokes, you know, that are pointless, but they could be funny. But
get the laughs.
Yeah,
that's the point of comedy.
Yeah, but to get the laughs, but also be true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's like, the art.
You could be a fucking hack and get the laughs.
I also think it's really hacky to see somebody just copying somebody else's style. Like, the jokes may be different, but you're like, oh, he's just doing an impression.
Well, he's doing, taking people. There's a lot of comics where other comics were doing their persona. Mitch Hedberg,
mm-hmm.
so many people are doing that persona.
Yeah.
Dave Attell,
mm-hmm.
Brian Regan,
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
You
know who I've seen the most imitators of in my days?
Who?
Louis.
Yeah.
A lot of people trying to be Louis.
I saw Dane Cook and I saw Attell.
Really?
And yeah, a lot of Regan back. This is back
I saw a lot of the Louis with the hand behind the head and the.
Oh, he does that?
Oh, yeah. I see people who do that stuff, yeah. And I just kind of go, oh, I know what you're up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. You know, but you're only going to go so far. I don't know. There's no answer. Listen, do what you fucking do, and if it pays off, it pays off. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Nailed it.
Huh?
Nailed it. That's it. That's the answer. Yeah. The answer to the question.
Do
whatever the fuck you're going to do. It'll work out or it won't.
Well, yeah, what the fuck?
There's no cops.
Do you remember Mean Gene Okerlund, the old wrestling interviewer guy?
No, I wasn't a wrestling guy.
Well, there's a story of Ric Flair. Walked up to Mean Gene. He had like a liver for kidney failure, liver failure, because he was like drinking so much. And he was at a bar. And Ric Flair comes down to me, to Gene Okerlund, and says, and this was the guy who just interviewed people. And he goes, "You're drinking, Gene. You look yellow." And he goes, "You know, Ric, it'll either work out or it won't." And I always was like, all right.
Did he die of liver failure?
No, he's still kicking.
Yeah. He had a transplant.
He had a transplant. Yeah. Lucky son of a gun.
There was a guy that lived above me.
Yeah.
And he had liver disease from drinking. Mm-hmm. Within 2 months dead. I mean, that shit is quick.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
That fucking shit is quick. Boy, that's depressing. Anybody have any other cancer stories?
I think we could probably end it there so you could play some golf today.
Well, this girl.
You are a great comedian, sir.
Thank
it's always
you.
A pleasure to have you in studio.
I say nothing. I'm just fucking a repetitive cunt, and my podcast stinks.
Yeah.
If you're reviewing my podcast, you are 100% right. It's fucking moldy and stale.
And if you're watching this show, please don't review us based on this episode. Yeah, maybe I'll do
no, one. Not at all. This fucking guy who looks like he's in Caddyshack 3 that fucking came on here, aggressive and mean to the co-host that adds nothing. What the fuck? Okay. I'm telling you, I'm getting more out of one of those figurines. Did you two go for the same part? Yeah, me and Patrice did. Yeah, we went out for the same part.
It was a joke, for Christ's sake.
No, it wasn't. It was you being stupid.
I'm not saying it was a good joke, but it was a joke.
Shut up, Gatsby hat.
By the way, I'm the only one who wasn't invited to the stupid hat party today. Look at Nick. Nick, where's your dumb hat?
We exchanged texts before the show.
What happened to your hat?
I like his hat.
Ah, you took it off, you... Baby.
That guy looks like every alt comic on the planet.
He is one.
He is one.
All of them. He has all of their life force.
Is there an alt room up in Rochester here?
Not really a room, but there's a little bit of an alt.
There's spaces. Yeah. I mean, like they.
Sure. There used to be a pretty cool alt show, and there hasn't really been any good ones for a while. So the answer to that, I would say, is no.
Oh. Ed Bepko doesn't have a room up here anymore?
No. I don't think he ever
did.
That
was Buffalo, not Rochester.
Buffalo. All right, folks.
Listen, it's been a real fucking treat. Listen to My Wife Hates Me. If you want to see the best roast you'll ever see in your life.
Check out this Bruce Willis roast. They're playing it to no end on Comedy Central.
Ed Norton was great on that roast.
You know.
He was good.
I've been meaning to watch, and I haven't sat down yet.
He was fucking really good
really
on
good.
That. I loved him.
Did you write his jokes?
No, I didn't write at all on this roast.
They didn't get you in on that?
No, okay. I don't know. If I write for a roast, I'm doing it just for the comic personally, a favor.
Sure.
I did write on the Kevin Hart roast a little, and I was going to do it for Kevin for free, and then I get a call. They want to hire, and I just did it from my house. And they would call me every day and go, "What do you have?" I go, "I'm playing golf. Get back to me tonight." You know, because I'm not.
Sure.
My wife's a great writer. You know, but I don't care about it. Writing, you know, my roast, it was tough enough to write. You know, I had to fucking close after a fucking murderer's row.
Yeah.
FrostRoast.com. Review that roast if you like reviewing.
You son of a bitch.
If you're a reviewer, you know, and maybe plug when your band will be playing in the room here to 12 people. I'd like to come see it. I hear you're a good guitar player. I always like to see a good guitar player.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does he have a good voice?
No, it doesn't sing.
Oh, wow. What?
Purely instrumentals, Rich. The whole band is purely instrumentals.
I'll tell you, growing up myself,
uh-huh.
I always took voices over instrumental like Cat Stevens or Neil Young or Temptations, Supremes.
But Neil Young is a little bit of both columns there. Yeah. That guy can do it all.
Yeah, but Cat Stevens was more voice.
Sure.
So was the Temptations and the Supremes.
I can't imagine young you sitting around listening to Cat Stevens.
He was fucking great. It's not time to make a change.
Jesus Christ.
Take it slow.
All right, roll the credits.
You're still young. That's your fault. There's so much.
I can just imagine you sitting there with little tears. Just it really got to you.
Find a girl.
Settle down.
If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy.
Are you happy, Rich?
How can I try to explain? That song, he does two voices, two characters.
He does, doesn't he?
It was fucking great. Am I happy?
Yeah.
I guess at times, I don't know. Some things make me happy, some don't. You know, you can't say, are you... certain situations, I'm happy. Certain situations, I'm not. I'm not going to blow my brains out. It is what it is. I live life on life's terms. I love my kids. I support a family. I run a household with the help from my wife. We have great careers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you always want more, but you got to be grateful for what you have. You know what I'm saying?
I 100% agree with you. Folks, there are 4 shows left with Rich Voss this weekend. You get your tickets now, call 5854-COMEDY, or visit carlsoncomedy.com for those. Rich Voss, it's always a pleasure, sir. Do you have any last insults for Brian before you leave?
No. Thank you for being here and co-hosting. This couldn't happen without you.
I don't know about that.
Do you know what? I love when you used to sit on Willie Tyler's lap. Boy, I couldn't use a Jeff Dunham reference. I go to Willie Tyler.
what the fuck
is wrong with me? You would be on Jeff Dunham's lap. Oh, God, do I suck. Goodbye.
Thank you. Hit the credits. We'll see you all next week.